Kind of excited about giving this message, though on Communion Sunday the time frame is curtailed a little bit. I'll go as best as I can for you, but you have study notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along, and I put a little chart there to help you to understand what we're going to be addressing today. We're going to be addressing the gap between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. And we have been dealing with the prophetic section of Daniel chapter 9. You might want to open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. We're dealing with 24 through 27. And let me review what we've learned so far about this prophetic session. First, we learned that there are six purposes of the 70 weeks in Daniel, and we see those listed in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Number one, to finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sin. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. Number six, to anoint the most holy. We explained what those were last week, so you'd have to get last week's notes to look at those in detail. The next thing we looked at was defined weeks. Weeks actually is a Hebrew word that just means seven, so you have to find out what kind of sevens are in focus here, and the sevens that are in focus here are weeks of years, weeks of years. So there's 70 weeks times 7 years, that equals what? 490 years. Daniel's prophecy is covering a 490-year time period. And we found number four in verse 25, to have a correct grasp of this time frame, we need to find out when the 490 years begins. And I've looked at it, and I believe that it began with the second decree of Artaxerxes in the 20th year of his reign, mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. That meets the requirements of Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And so the commandment to rebuild the city was issued in relationship to the first day of Nisan, 445 B.C. It would, by our time frame, it would be March 14th, 445 B.C. So that's when the weeks begin to tick off. All right then. Fifthly, two events are revealed in verse 25. There's two different time periods. There's a 49-year time period, 7 weeks, and then there's a 62-week time period, 434 years. And 7 weeks plus 62 weeks equals 69 weeks, which means there's 483 years. Event number one, the 7 weeks, 49 years, refers to the time that it took to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the streets, rebuild the temple there. And the building began in 445 B.C. and was completed 49 years later. But also, what was real interesting is the Old Testament canon came to a close at that same time, the end of the Old Testament. So what we have here is God established his people in the land, God established his city, Jerusalem, God established his temple for his worship, and he established his word. God affirmed his people, his city, his temple, his word in those 49 years. Next, we come to event number two, which is 62 weeks, 62 years, which equals 434 years. This goes from 396 B.C. forward. Remember, the 49 years had already passed. So if you address or add those 49 years to the 434 years, you get 483 years. And this verse makes it clear that Messiah the Prince will be revealed at the end of that time. Now, what is that talking about? Well, the phrase in the Hebrew means Messiah, the anointed one who rules. I'm just amazed at this time frame that God revealed to Daniel. Because you know what happened on Palm Sunday, March 1st, Nisan 1st, March 29th, about 32 AD, Jesus rode into Jerusalem in what is called the triumphal entry. And you know what? Jesus was officially presenting himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah and their King. And that fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh upon thee," unto thee. "He is just and hath salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That's exactly what happened. I've stood on the Mount of Olives. I've looked at the closed up Eastern Gate, and Jesus Christ rode into there, and they shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of the Jews." And a few days later, you know what they're doing? Crucifying him. Now, that brings us to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 today. Look in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. There's some important, little words are important. It says, "And after 62 weeks, 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." Look at the little phrase, the little word "after." That indicates that the Messiah was not cut off in the 70th week. It was after 69 weeks. There's yet a 70th week, 7 years to come. He was cut off after 7 and 2 weeks had run its course. Now, here's why that is important. Remember what I told you? That this prophecy of 70 weeks has to do with the Jews and what? Jerusalem. Jews in Jerusalem. That means there is an interval between the 69th and the 70th week. And you might say, well, how do you account for a gap between the 69th and the 70th week? Shouldn't they run sequentially? Well, no. And let me explain why. Gaps or intervals are common in the scriptures. Probably the best one is Isaiah chapter 9, 6. You can quote it if you know it. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, wait a minute. Isn't there a gap there? Unto us a child is born. There is a huge gap between the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the government being upon his shoulder. That is yet to come in the millennium, right? So it's not an uncommon thing that there's a gap that's going on here, because here's the deal. The Old Testament prophets did not have a clue about the dispensation of the age of grace. They did not have a clue. They did not see the church age on the horizon. They didn't see that salvation was going to be offered to the Jews, because in the Old Testament, if you were going to be saved, you had to be a convert to Judaism and offer your sacrifice in faith, not in ritual, but you had to take God at his word. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. We're living in the gap, man. We're living in the gap right now. Ephesians chapter 3, and I just want to have you follow along with me, and as we read this, and here's what it says. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ," and then we see this, "for the Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word." He said, "Have you heard of that?" Yeah, and you know what? They hadn't. He's saying, I got to tell you something now, because you know what? When Jesus Christ came through the Eastern Gate, they were thinking, man, he is going to kick the behinds of the Romans. We're going to go back to the glory years of King David and King Solomon. And besides that, he's going to heal the sick and he's going to feed the hungry. Man, we got a political guy who, the glory years again. We'll look at it in a minute in the notes here, but they missed the whole thing that he was going to die for the sins. They could have found that in Isaiah 53. They could have found that in Psalm 22. But they missed it after. There's a gap. Jesus quits dealing with Israel, and Paul says, let me explain it to you. How that by revelation he made known to me, here it is, the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now watch this in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known.
Good.
Here it is. Some people are all messed up, and some people think it runs concurrently. It just runs all along through the 70 weeks. Paul says, hold the phone, stop, wait a minute. There's a mystery that you missed. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here it is. That the Gentiles, you know what happened when a Jew heard the word Gentile? Excuse me. No, they did that. They were Gentile dogs. And so they would spit. Ah, they wouldn't even, you got Samaritans who are half Jews and half Gentiles. And whoa, we don't want anything to do with the Samaritans. Are you kidding me? They're half-breeds. But here's Paul saying, the Old Testament prophets missed it. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel. Glory! Well, that's me. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And we're fellow heirs in Christ Jesus. You know, that excites me to no end when I consider it. Ephesians 5:32 says, a great mystery concerning Christ and his church. Paul explains this mystery in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant, look at this now, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to what? Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. Let me just summarize it quickly for you. God's dealing with the Jews stopped when Christ rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday and presented himself as Israel's Messiah King, and a few days later they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Give us Barabbas. The gap begins. And then Messiah is cut off, and the mystery period begins, and the church age begins, and the final week, the 70th week, will not begin until the church age ends. And you know when the church age is going to end? When you hear the shout of the Lord, the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That is the end of this current age of grace. We are living in the gap. But you know what? That ought to put you on your toes, because everything else, and we're going to see a little bit more before we come to communion, everything else that the angel foretold, Gabriel foretold to Daniel, has come to pass exactly as he said it would. Everything. Everything. And so now we're living in the gap. And so now I'm telling you, as I stand here, there is no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before we are out of here in the rapture. It might not take place in my lifetime, but I'll tell you what, it is a whole lot nearer than when I believed. If you follow, and we did a whole expositional study of the book of Revelation, we're down to the last age of the church. We're living in the Laodicean period of the church, where the church is making God sick to his stomach. Because for the most part, the church is neither hot nor cold, and it makes the Lord spew them out of his mouth. We're down, as my dad used to say, to the nubs, friends. Well, next we come to verse 26, back to Daniel chapter 9. If you'll flip to 9:26 of Daniel once again. And then we see this. We see that the Messiah is going to be cut off. The word cut off, what does that mean? Messiah is going to be cut off. Here's the deal. The word cut off there literally means to kill. It's the Hebrew word karath, and it's three times used of the execution of a criminal. What a picture this is, because not only was Jesus Christ killed, but he was crucified as what? As a criminal. He was crucified between two what? Two thieves. I just want to pause there for a minute. The two thieves treated Jesus, to begin with, just like he was a common, ordinary criminal. They mocked him. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us! Then the one thief finally says, wait a minute. This man doesn't belong here. He's done nothing to deserve this. He's innocent. And he looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because that's where Old Testament saints went. There's a great gulf fixed. There's paradise on one side, Abraham's bosom, and on the other side is hell. And after the resurrection, Jesus Christ led captivity captive. He emptied Abraham's bosom. He emptied paradise. And he took those Old Testament believers to heaven with them because he had paid the price. Which thief would you be? which thief are you? Are you the one who admitted that you deserve the punishment and the death? Are you the one that mocks the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, just because you're sitting in a Baptist church this morning doesn't mean you believe the stuff in this book. Jesus Christ was cut off. And you got to take your stand. You're on one side or the other. You're going to take the Lord Jesus Christ at his word and be born again, or you're going to mock him and you're going to end up in hell. And there is no chance in eternity to change your destiny. You take your last breath and death is like cement. You can't change it. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, boy, oh boy, this morning would be a good time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I want to move a little bit further in verse 26, and then I'll quit because we have to come to the Lord's table. But in verse 26, we look at the little phrase that says, he was cut off, and it says, not for himself. He shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's an interesting little phrase. That means that the Jews did not honor the Lord. They wouldn't give him any honor, not for himself. They didn't give him any honor. They didn't give him any respect. They didn't love him. They didn't accept him. And the best way to grasp that is John 1:11 that says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. They said, we don't believe any of the stuff that you say or you did. What in the world was wrong with their heads? I mean, here they had been preaching about their coming Messiah. They had been looking for years for their coming Messiah. And he comes and he has all the signs. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He calmed the sea. But they wanted a glorious leader. They were looking for the one to restore Solomon's glory and kick the miserable Romans out of there. Turn with me to Psalm 22. But they closed their eyes. Christ came to deal with their sin problem first. Psalm 22 was in their Hebrew hymnal. Psalm 22 and verse 1, look at this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me and from the words of my roaring? My God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. But thou art holy. Thou art the inhabitant praiseth Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and thou deliveredest them. And they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. And then he says in verse 6, I am a worm, and not a man, a reproach of men, and despise the people, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn and shoot out their lips and shake their heads, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 13. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, count all my bones, and they took and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. How did they miss it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Here's how they missed him. Got to stop here, but here's how they missed him. They missed him because they were all wrapped up in their religion. They were all wrapped up in their religion. And you know what? So many people miss Christ today because they're all wrapped up in their religion. They did not want Christ messing with their neat little prepackaged human religious system. Right. Salvation Which religion gets you to heaven? None! It is the person who was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're going to come to the Lord's table today, and may we, as believers, and secondarily as Baptists, but may we as believers realize it is not being a Baptist that saves us. It is being a believer in the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. They missed it. Even though it was in their Bible. It was in Psalms, it was in Isaiah, it was in other parts, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It was all there that he would be the suffering Savior before he would be the victorious Savior. He would take care of their sins first and then establish his kingdom. And your greatest need is Jesus Christ. Is he your Savior? I'm going to have a word of prayer and then ask the deacons who are serving communion to gather at the back.